Will everybody please rise for the invocation, pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with our residents and those in attendance today. We pray that you're with Kimberly Keene's family, the Nolte family, and the Brinkley family in their time of loss. Please be with our military. Please guide this meeting tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Akabaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
Item 5, citizens' participation. We have Mr. Rothy Hagstadt for at 4818 Benzingelman regarding Benzingelman. I'm presuming it's the construction part of Benzingelman?
No, ma'am.
No, okay.
We've already talked online, and it's nice being able to talk to you online, but just be careful. The Democrats might start talking bad about you like Trump. Anyway, I've been here 6 times now, and I've met with Chief about 3 times. And this last time I've talked to Chief, we had a nice long discussion about the speeding issue on Benzingelman. I've been here twice, asked about speed bumps. I've been here a couple times requesting speed bumps. Now I'm coming, not asking, not requesting, demanding speed bumps put between Buzz Aldrin and whatever it is that the Kirby Senior Center song. Because these guys go 50 miles an hour. I've got video that I took just today after the construction guys left, and in just a six minute video, I've got 6 to 7 speeders, and you can tell the ones that are speeding versus the ones that are going speed limit because they, you know, the time that they're in the frame, because I didn't move the camera. We need speed bumps. We're getting kids that moved into this area of Benzingelman now, and I wish Chief was here. Oh, he is here. Hi, Chief. That way I'm not throwing you under the bus. Like I said, him and I had a nice long talk, about a 30-minute talk, and one of the things that he told me is true. Now that we're getting an even better portion of Benzingelman on the 4800 area, they're just going to go even faster. So we need speed bumps. I'm not requesting, I'm demanding speed bumps. And even if I have to put some 2x4s out there, 2x6s or something out there and make my own speed bumps to slow these people down, if that's what it takes, that's what's going to have to happen, because we've got kids that are playing in the front yards now, and you know, it'll be on city council's head when one of these kids get killed because somebody speeds through and kills them. I've been here, like I said, 6 times over the last 3 years. Now it's in your hands and it's on your heads if something happens to one of these kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Roger Romans, PSA
Commodities. I'm just wanting to get some information out to the community over at the Senior Center. Well, Miss Henry couldn't be here tonight, so I'm addressing y'all. She has a personal matter. They've been chosen by the food bank for a commodity distribution site separate from the second and for Thursday. Next Thursday on the 31st, we're going to be receiving approximately 11 pallets of food. And it's to be distributed to anyone in the community. It's not means tested. It is not the commodities they are for over 60. These are for people that any age, and they're going to be handing them out from 1 to 3. I'm saying it here so the city departments know, y'all know, and it's not going to be frozen stuff, but it's going to be a lot of stuff, and 11 pallets is a lot of food to give out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deborah McMillan. Election item 6A.
Good evening. At the previous council meeting, the election judge provided the results of the recent election on 5 May. The judge reported 194 total voters with the following breakdown: 65 early voters, 55 on election day, and 74 mail-in voters. A breakdown of votes cast for the yes or no bond question was also provided, with 189 for and 43 against. The election judge did not provide the total number of votes cast for the bond. In an effort to maintain the integrity of the election process and the trust of the residents of the community, I ask council to provide the residents with a valid explanation as to how 38 more votes were cast on the bond question when there were 194 total number of voters as reported by the election judge. Thank you.
Thank you. Raul Martinez regarding Kirby Heights.
Mayor, I was wondering why this wasn't placed on the agenda for this meeting. There was supposed to be a get together so we could see the site of what we were talking about as far as the Republic Waste, but I noticed it wasn't placed on the agenda. Was this an oversight or?
A meeting? There was a meeting.
Well, because there was set up. I was going to be out of town, but I came back in time. And on Monday, we went out there to check out what Republic was talking about as far as going in with their trucks for disposing of the trash. And I was under the impression that it was going to be placed on the agenda for this meeting.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I will be happy to get it on our agenda for the next council meeting.
Okay, well, if I may, I'd like to express what I had on mind for this
fine.
Meeting
that's
because, you know, it keeps on dragging.
Yes,
and
that's fine.
I'd like to get a solution as quickly as possible because it'll affect us on the long run. The main problem we're having here is that Republic all of a sudden decided to discontinue picking up two side loaders on Kirby Heights. This has been going on for years and years and years. That they have provided service. All of a sudden, they claim that they're going to discontinue because of safety issues. I sincerely don't believe it's a safety issue. I think it's a matter of it's costing them a little bit more because they have to send one vehicle to service two or three different areas here in Kirby. It's just a matter to where there's a contract that we as citizens, as business people, have an obligation, because there's an exclusive contract, we have an obligation to the city. Republic has an obligation to the city. I feel that this contract has been breached because all of a sudden you just can't decide you're not going to provide service anymore. And it's a well-known fact that as commercial services, they're a lot more expensive than anywhere else. And we went out there to try and resolve this issue, and there was a recommendation. But the fact of the matter is, actually, we put it to a test. It's not really going to work because there's a difference between a stable container and the roll around tarp, the totes. They flip easy. These people, they throw different items in there. And in my case, because of the restaurant, they have bulky items that they get rid of. Plastic crates, heavy duty boxes, and that wouldn't work already. So we did agree to put it to a test if it was gonna work. I talked to several restaurant owners, and not only here in Kirby, but also in San Antonio, but it wasn't working for them. So I had rather for us to go ahead and just keep on getting the service we've been getting for many years. You know, the side loader, I had a problem with BFI when BFI was here. I had to fix what they broke. They recommended a side loader, and we've had it for years. For them to come at the last minute and just say, they discontinued without notifying anybody, first of all. That's very unprofessional. And I'd like for the city to give us a hand with this, and you know, they have a couple of years more on the contract, you know, for them to fulfill that service that they promised on the contract. Whatever they inherited when they took over that contract, you know, it goes lock, stock, and barrel. You know.
All right, we'll get it on the next agenda, Mr. Martinez, and if Republic's actually here tonight, so if they want to sidebar with you after the meeting, they're here as well.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Linda Grant, regarding Kirby Animal Care, would you like to speak now, or do you want to wait to that agenda item?
I'll wait till the agenda item comes up.
Right, item 6A, consideration of an action on minutes, regular meeting minutes of May 10th, 2018. We'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion, we accept the minutes from May 10th, 2018.
Second.
Having motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the regular meeting minutes of May 10th, 2018. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
An abstention. Item 7, consent agenda. We will entertain a motion for the consent agenda.
Mayor, I move that we accept the consent agenda for approval of the quarterly financial record period of ending March the 31st, 2018, and approval of the quarterly investment report for a period ending March 31st, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Alfredo?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 8A. Presentation and discussion about solar lighting along the Timothy J. Wilson hike and bike trail.
We have a representative.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm filling in actually tonight for Roland Hinojosa, who normally works with the City of Kirby. So I think we have some slides that we wanted to share with you on what is available with the CPS energy options anyway, and then maybe we can just open it up for discussion, is I think the intent. So again, my colleague Roland Hinojosa took the liberty, I think it was either he or you, Monique. Very good. That's what he told me. I didn't know if he was telling me the truth or not, but he took pictures out at the park, and he wanted to put them up on the screen for all of us to see that obviously this is a new bike trail, I guess a fitness trail too, that the city's looking at putting some lighting options for security and safety and visibility. So as far as what CPS Energy could offer the city, let me see, there we go, is what we call all-night security lights. And we also call them short, for short, we call them ANSLs. So the limitation on the all-night security lights, unfortunately, is that we have a maximum of 5 that we can install per property or platted property. So when you look at I think it's about a mile in length is what I'm told, 5 is not going to make a lot of headway. So we might want to start with 5 LED all-night security lights in the interim. It might be a good interim measure. Here's some specifics that we threw on the screen. So for the 41.5 watt, it's a 100 watt equivalent LED, there's a monthly charge. So what we do is we install it and we maintain it, and the city doesn't have to do anything with the lights after that at all. It's a 3-year contract. If at the end of 3 years you don't want the lights anymore because the city would like to opt for something else, that's fine too. And they can be fed overhead or underground. The prices are a little different. In the overhead scenario, it's $8.70 a light per month, and in the underground, it's $23 a month. So that is what we have at CPS Energy. We don't have solar options per se, but we have very efficient LED lights. I think the next slide talks about some options that we feel the city of Kirby would have, and of course this is just very high level, and a little bit more research should be done. But obviously there is the option of installing your own lights. So these are not CPS Energy lights, and they're electric fed. We would install a meter, and you'd take it from the meter on to wherever you'd like to install the lights. Obviously, funding options for installation should be sought, as well as for maintenance of the lights. And lighting consulting and engineering for obtaining what we call a photometric analysis to show you what kind of spacing and types of lights are available, etc. Other considerations are selecting either option or, as we talked earlier, a combination thereof. Tree trimming may be required, installing lights on both sides of the meandering trail, avoiding concrete cuts. So you want to, depending on where you want to place the lights, you don't want to have to cut those nice sidewalks. Avoiding the creekside installations for obvious reason. Don't want to get around too close to water. And then residential and commercial customers may or may not like the illumination near private properties. And from the pictures I saw, there are areas of the trail that are close to residential homes, and maybe even some areas where it's close to commercial. So that has to be taken into consideration too. That's all I have as far. Other than that, what I'd like to say is I'm working with the city of Helotes, who's has a golf disc course out on FM 1560. And they're installing, or they're just adjacent to that, they're putting in a fitness trail also. And what they're going to do is they're going to get a metered service, and they're going to install 5 all-night security lights that CPS would install for them and maintain them. And then they're going to go ahead and install their own lights or own lighting also. So they're going to do a little combination of the two. And I could provide you with the name of the public works director there if you'd like some more information on how they're doing it as well.
Is there any questions? No. Is there any grant money available?
That I'm not aware of, but I think that our best resource would be ACOG for that. And maybe the State Energy Conservation Office may have some information on that as well.
The one out there on ACOG office on Wetmore?
I'm sorry?
The ACOG office on Wetmore Road?
I think they're on...
Yes.
That would be my suggestion.
All right.
Are there any solar options in the future?
So we're always looking at that, of course. We have a lot of, obviously, solar programs for our customers, and that's rooftop installations, and actually we have one here in the city of Kirby. But as far as lighting, we take the obligation of safely lighting up thoroughfares and streets and highways, and solar just hasn't, in this realm, hasn't proven as reliable as we need it to be. So if again, we're obligated to make sure that the streets and highways are safe and lit up at night. We, at this point, have not found a technology, but we are certainly looking for them, always looking for new technology.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
Item 9A, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-838, repealing and replacing ordinance number O-2014-749, authorizing the use of parks and rec area owned and controlled by the City of Kirby. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept ordinance number 02018-838, repealing and replacing ordinance number 02014-749, authorized the use of parks and recreation areas owned and controlled by the City of Kirby.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2018-838, repealing and replacing ordinance number O-2014-749. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Obadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
Excuse me, and Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Ordinance number O-2018-838 passes for the second reading. Item 9B, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the 2017-2018 municipal budget of the City of Kirby. This is the second reading.
Mayor, I'd like to make the motion to accept the possible action on ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the 2017-2018 municipal budget of the City of Kirby.
Second.
Have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the 2017-2018 municipal budget of the City of Kirby. This is the second reading. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Obadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the 2017-2018 municipal budget for the City of Kirby, passes for the second reading. Item 9C, update, discussion, and possible action on a library initiative. This time I will call Donna up to give us an update on her progress.
Everything's going good. I have some more little proposals. We have been donated space and time at the SW Hall 2059 by Commander. these cheap toys have offered to build our first library boxes and possibly donate some books. Chief Voice has told me that we have a box up. There's pictures. And yay. He emailed me and told me there are some books in it now. I guess he took care of that this afternoon. Oh, did I see a picture of one from Chief O'Farrell's? Oh, very nice. So our goals are book share boxes at convenient locations for the community residents and other community members. One will be located at the fire hall and one at the police station donated by the respective chiefs. We are on a waiting list with Girl Scout Troop 300 for a third box that will be placed at the senior center. Ms. Norma has given her approval for that. Additional boxes can be built and placed throughout the city depending on the community involvement and what everyone requests. Children and adult books will both be stocked in each box. So far, we have been donated approximately 115 books, not counting whatever she put in his box this afternoon. We still have other people that have promised some. We're a little short on children's books, so PSA, if anybody has children's books they want to donate, we'll be more than happy to take them. Currently, we are taking donations at the police department, the fire station dispatch, at our monthly committee meetings, and anyone who wants to bring them directly to my house can contact me through Facebook, or if anybody happens to have my phone number that I know personally, they can let me know and bring them right over to me. Once the boxes are set up and operational, small donations of a couple books at a time can be donated directly in the boxes. Ms. Ruth Mitty, who has a mobile donation library, some of you may know, has offered to be our librarian and check on the boxes weekly to make sure that they're stocked and let me know if there's any deficiencies. I will also be considered a librarian. I created an email account for the libraries. It's KirbyLFL for Little Free Library at gmail.com. Registration of the books boxes with the Little Free Library website. I have all the documentation. We were gifted registration numbers by Girl Scouts Troop 300 for the two boxes that the chiefs are putting up. The pending box from the Girl Scouts will also have a registration with Little Free Library. Future boxes will need to be registered. The cost is about $40 for a registration plaque for a box that's donated and built by the community. If it's one that we purchased through the Little Free Library website, it comes with the registration list, and that would be included in the cost. Maintenance on the library boxes would be done by volunteers, possibly getting older students involved in maintenance of the boxes, painting, weatherproofing, and book cycling. I have a brief list of possible groups that I want to approach within the next few months, including the school district, the Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, probation and community service programs. I know there's one that has a program that they work with, the shelter, so I'm trying to find out who to contact with them and see if they know of anyone else that might be able to help, you know, with boxes. Monthly committee meetings. Currently, they're scheduled for the third Saturday of the month. Our permanent members so far are myself, Ms. Ruth Mitty, and Christine Linares. I hope I'm not butchering her name too badly. I want to try to have five members, but for right now, three, as long as it's an odd number so we don't reach a stalemate on making decisions. I'm happy with that. Meetings are always open to the public. Anybody that ever wants to attend is more than welcome to just show up. Specifications. Book boxes will be built and donated. I do not currently have a budget plan in mind. I would ask that if anyone wants to donate towards a box, to let me know where they would prefer to have it located, and we can work on a donations per box program instead of just people donating money to me and holding money for an indefinite period of time and not knowing exactly what's going to happen with it. Anticipate the cost of each box will be approximately $340, including registration, if we purchased it through based, and would a permit or something of that nature be required?
Can you explain that picture right there from the Girl Scout?
I must have took that paragraph out. I'm so sorry.
That I knew what it was because I think it's very cool that you did this and that you reached out to them. So
that is her last name is Jellica. I cannot remember her first name. I'm sorry. She is one of the troop leaders for Girl Scout Troops 300. She's the one who provided us with the Little Free Library registration, and those are the plaques that she has in her hand that are going to go on the boxes. And I do have those here so that I can give them to the chiefs. They say littlefreelibrary.org. Each one has an individual charter number. And we also have, can you pass that? Thank you. Just so everybody can see. They're numbered out of the 300 that the Girl Scouts have available. It says Little Free Library is placed in honor of the tricentennial by Girl Scout Troop 300. Donated by Chief Kevin Boyce, and that one should say Chief Alfaro's name, Carlos Alfaro. And I also have laminated etiquette rules that was in the packet to give to the chiefs also so they can figure the best ways to attach them. Gosh,
David, look in my eye. Really blue.
And with the Girl Scout Troop 300, their mission is in honor of San Antonio's tricentennial. Girl Scout Troop 300 has chosen a service project to spread its love of reading. The girls will be overseeing the construction and installation of 300 little free libraries throughout San Antonio. So Kirby was part of that because Donna reached out to them, and they actually registered both of those. So as soon as all of the preliminary information is approved, that Donna would be able to register those. So then when somebody went to the Little Free Library website, it would literally pinpoint exactly where those boxes are.
Cool.
Yes, and I have not been on the Little Free Library website yet. I don't know if they're mapped out yet. I actually wanted to make sure that I had pictures of the boxes to put up, so I will be taking care of that this weekend. If anybody wants to check out the website sometime this weekend, it should be updated with the map.
Do we need to approve where the boxes are going, or is that really up to
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't think so. So we really don't need to take any action as far as that piece is concerned.
Good to go.
And yeah, she's going. She's going to give them. Yeah. You can. So for both of the chiefs want to come up here, they can get their little plaque for their boxes. Chief Alfaro, is yours already set up?
No, ma'am. No, okay. In the finishing process, we put the last coat of sealant on it today. Okay. I'm still undecided as to whether to put it on a post or to actually, I was going to ask the city manager, maybe mount it as you're walking into the fire station under on the left side wall, maybe actually affix it to the wall itself where it's under some cover so it's less impervious, more impervious to the rain.
Chief, I do have to tell you, your graphics on your dog are really cute.
Yeah, I got a little bit more work, some final touch-ups, some little touch-up things here and there, and I'm working
chiefs.
All right, so if anybody has any books to donate, Donna has given us the information. There's also, if anybody is on Facebook, there's also a group that Donna has created as well that you can join so that you can get updates on that information. And the various different other groups share the information that she has as well.
The Kirby Live Library Group, and I commonly link back and forth between the Kirby community group, so if you're a member of one, you can see the link to the other.
And then the third Saturday at 11 a.m., so
third
June.
Saturday at 11 a.m. at the BFW.
And June, it's June. When's the next June?
Somewhere around the 19th.
Yes, because May 19th was our last one. So the third Saturday in June at the VFW. Does anybody have any questions? All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Item 9D, update discussion and possible action on the 2018 Kirby pool season.
So San Antonio Pool Management is supposed to be here to present. I don't see them, so I can tell you what I know. We, per our contract, had to have a preseason meeting with them. So yesterday, our public works director, my assistant, and I met with their company assistant manager and the pool season manager, and went over the processes for pool season. We are prepared to open this Saturday, May 26th. The pool will be open Saturday from noon to 6 p.m., Sunday from 1 to 7 p.m., and on Monday, which is Memorial Day, from 12 to 6 p.m. also. And then they'll be closed on Tuesday, which will be the process anytime there's a Monday holiday. But then after that, the pool will be closed on Mondays. We'll have late swim on Wednesdays, so they'll stay open until 8 p.m. every Wednesday. The city has already purchased concession items and all of the toiletries and stocked those there in the closet, so the pool staff will be responsible for selling the concessions, keeping the facility clean and stocked. They'll just let us know when we need to update, find new products. They will take cash for pool entry there. It's $2 per person, whether you are swimming or not swimming. The only people who get in free is anyone that's newborn to age 2 years old. And there are no pool passes this year, as we mentioned previously, so it's cash for everyone to enter. We will still continue what we've done in the past as far as the pool manager takes the money end of the night to dispatch. Our staff picks that up, deposits that money daily, so we can keep a track of how much we make on pool entry fees as well as concessions. Any pool parties, as well as the facility rentals for the summer, will be handled through the website of San Antonio Pool Management. So you have to contact them directly to set up your pool parties, and they'll notify us. We'll keep that on our calendar. At the end of every month, they'll pay the city our percentage of whatever parties that they hosted there. They hired, again, the pool manager and all the lifeguards work directly for San Antonio Pool Management.
I've had a couple of people say that they've reached out to them, but they haven't returned phone calls. So that was a concern, because somebody was asking about adult swim, you know, like adults only, like to actually rent it. But at the time, I'm presuming they haven't received a call back, but that was like 3 weeks ago. So, and then somebody else was asking about something else and they didn't. So I think they ended up calling City Hall anyway. But so that's one of the concerns. So if we can make sure that we contact them, that if our residents are reaching out to them, then they absolutely need to reply back to them or get back to them within a reasonable amount of time. I wouldn't think it would be any more than 48 hours would be reasonable. Does anybody else have any questions regarding? Any questions regarding? No. Item 9E, discussion and possible action. Update and discussion and possible action regarding Republic Services, broken carts, and recycling services. You're up, Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council and staff. wanted to give you a little update. In our last council meeting that we attended, we discussed the issue with the parks being broken. And at that time, I outlined how we were going to have our drivers, five drivers, to service the city of Kirby on Thursday. And we assigned each of them that they have to repair 10 parks each Thursday that they're out there. So after we've had two service days since that last meeting, and we have repaired and replaced 85 parks in that time. So if we had 10 times 5 for the two service days, it should be 100. But what we got that we're able to pinpoint and validate is 85 parks that have been repaired. The great majority of the issues are lids and wheels. There have been some issues with broken bodies. Can y'all hear me okay? With broken bodies on the carts. That's usually a driver error when you have a broken cart, unless you have a cart that's just so old it's brittle and falling apart. But that's using the automated arm and not grabbing the cart in the correct place. High or too low, it can break it. So that's a training issue on our end. As far as the wheels go, whenever we have an issue with wheels, it's basically on us. When we have issues with broken lids, it's usually because people are overloading their carts. So they put too much in there and they smash the lid down, and that's just more stress on the hinges there. I have some pictures. The other thing we also see is when a cart is placed like at a weird angle behind a car that's parked on the curb, we can get that thing from the curb because we can move that arm a little bit. But when it's at a strange angle like that, a lot of times that'll put stress on the body as well because we're not able to grab it head on. But those are training issues on our part. I'll get with Patty and Monica. I have some pictures, and we might want to do some like an education piece maybe on the website or however you think of the issue of overloading the cart. It also doesn't look great when you have these carts with all this trash blowing out the top of it. So if you have somebody who just, you know, with me personally, I have more trash than my car will hold at Christmas. There are some people, it's every week, and those people need to look at getting an additional cart more often than not. But we're making very good progress. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I mentioned it at the last council meeting, is we're having an issue with one of the arms, the arm on Pablo's truck. He's our lead driver out there in Kirby, and we've rebuilt that arm several times over the years, and it had just gotten to a point where at the end of the line it needs to be replaced, and we have replaced it since the last council meeting. The problem is when those things wear out, they don't put the cart back down slowly and smoothly. It has like a little jerk in it, and it slams that cart down, and that's how you break the wheels. So we have that the new arm on his cart. All the other arms on the automated trucks are in very good condition, so I think that's going to help the issue quite a bit. We'll keep an eye on that, see how that's going, and then we will continue with the replacement of 10, repair or replacement of 10 cars per driver per week. And hopefully in a month or two time, you'll be able to tell a big difference. And then if somebody has a cart that they have an issue with that hadn't been addressed, they can obviously let us know that. We'll take care of that as well.
So is Pablo's truck the one that was breaking all the carts? Terry promised me that he would tell us why there was an influx in that, because it went for a while. I mean, today, just driving here, I counted 10 that are just broken now with broken lids, broken wheels, laying over on their side.
I'd like to kind of know what part of town that was in, just so I can kind of pinpoint that to see if that is.
Martinez, Kirby Drive. There was a couple on Ackerman. Subsiding the reports? Yes. Do we have any Friday this past that you remember? Do we have any today that you remember? Okay. Tomorrow will probably be the day.
Usually
calls
come
in the day after the service ends. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes those calls come in right after they get picked up, so. Does anybody have any questions specifically regarding the broken carts?
Well, I noticed something. I have three. And the last one that you brought me, the gauge of the container is heavier than the gauge of the other two. You can't control UV, and that's what eats them up anyway, so yeah.
And believe it or not, cold weather is really, really hard on carts, and it makes them more hard and brittle.
Well, it's a good thing it's not cold here.
Yeah.
Do not have that issue now.
Okay.
There are questions regarding the broken cart piece. Okay. The reason I brought up the recycling piece again is because you had come and done a presentation about glass not being recyclable and why it wasn't recyclable. However, that's a huge hot topic as well, because even on our recycling calendar, the acceptable list says glass, clear or colored is acceptable, no ceramic. And on my recycling cart, it actually has a picture of acceptable items and glass is on it. There's a couple of other people whose receptacles also have the word glass. However, if we're saying we're not recycling it, and you're saying the recycling glass or the glass is actually going into the landfill, then somewhere there's a disparity that we can't explain after.
It sounds like I have an issue with our marketing piece and the stickers on the cards. Now, glass is 100%. Recycled. The problem is you have to have a nearby facility where you can recycle glass. It's so heavy, the cost of transporting it just makes it impossible to justify. So if we had a recycling center that recycled glass in San Antonio, we would do it all day, every day. So as a company, we have markets where we do recycle glass and markets where we don't. So in Dallas, they recycle glass because there's a facility there that takes it and recycles it and makes millet out of it. But we don't here, so the only way we could do it is to transport it up there. And with the weight, it's so expensive to do.
And that's the part that is it's a sore subject, because if people are going by this, then they're finding out that they're thinking that they're being better for the environment, and we're saying recycle, recycle, and now we know that it's going directly into the landfill. So, I mean, if we're saying, yes, we're recycling glass, but in all reality it's going straight into the landfill, then it's really hard to tell residents, no. Like I said, I I was here for the presentation. I asked you to come because we actually had a resident who specifically asked me that. But I looked at my recycling bin because I had a replacement one, and it actually says recycling. I know that there's neighboring communities that also their contracts haven't changed, and theirs is under the pretense that glass is being recycled. So to me, if we're saying we're recycling glass, but in all reality it's going to the landfill, it's...
There are some communities that specifically ask for glass recycling, and we built the cost of recycling that glass and transporting it up to Dallas into the model for their pricing, so they're paying a higher rate to do it.
So they're paying a higher rate than us?
Yes.
What percentage would you say that it is, roughly? So we could recycle glass, we could request it if we paid an additional. You know, maybe we ought to look at that proposal.
Well, my biggest thing, like I said, is the fact that we're saying no, we don't, and it's all
on
right
the
here.
I know what you're saying, yes.
That it is, so.
Is that the sheet right there that you're seeing now? I just want to see. Oh, you said it's on the tower.
Yeah.
And there's a flyer that came in, too. I don't know. It was sent to residents. I'm not sure. At some point that had recycled glass. So, I mean, we're emphatically saying, no, we don't recycle glass. This says glass. But yet then we're told, oh, no, it really goes in the dump. So it's just.
I agree. And that's certainly an issue and sends a
all right. Just out of curiosity, if we were to look at the bus recycling with the add-on, do we derive income from that, or is it a break-even situation? If we entertained recycling glass and paid the additional 50 cents or dollar, all right, is that a break-even, or do we... kind of saturated.
It's from China.
Okay.
China is by far the largest user of cardboard on the planet. More than 50% of all cardboard in the United States goes to China as a recyclable. And it's because they have so much manufacturing over there. They have no recycling at all. So they just have this huge appetite for cardboard. So that's driven the rate, the price of the commodity up over the years. So what's happened is they've changed their stance now. China's going to start recycling. They're going to start using their own cardboard instead of bringing it in from overseas. So what they've done is they've said that the only cardboard we'll take from the United States, the contamination rate has to be less than
that's pretty pure.
Yeah. So, long story short, that is making the recycling market tougher and tougher. You know, for years, we've always done it because it's the right thing to do. We don't make any money on it, and we're at a point now where we're losing money on it. Some of our competitors in larger markets are pulling items from the waste stream. City of Houston did take glass, and last year they pulled glass from their list of recyclables, and they do have an ability to recycle.
If I remember correctly, when you made that presentation, you said that the glass gets ground up basically and just shoved into the ground.
Well,
Yeah, you keep running over it.
What I was saying is, if you're going to landfill something, glass isn't a bad thing to put in the landfill, because it goes into the landfill. We put cover on top of it. We run the compactors over it to keep compacting the trash down into the landfill. All of the glass is crushed, and with more and more pressure on it, it just returns to its
silicate.
Natural state, which is silica or sand, which is one of the most prevalent items in the world. So, the items you want to be recycling are items where there's a finite amount of that material, and we need to be careful with how we use it. We need to reuse it as we can. Glass is one. We don't really have an issue finding sand to make glass.
So. Yeah. Is there any more discussion on the carts or recycling?
I have recycling. Just several people have asked me on the commercial side if they could start recycling. If they request a recycling bin, can they roll it out and the recycle can be recycled at that point?
So the last time that came up, we were trying to decide how much or how big of a demand there was for that in the community. If there's a demand for commercial recycling, we will certainly do it. The problem is the contract doesn't address it. So we don't have anything in our contract talking about commercial recycling. So it's up to you guys. We're happy to do it if there's folks that want it. We just need to have some kind of guidelines and come up with some pricing on it, which Mon and I could do easily. I don't know if that's something that would need to be an amendment or an addendum to the contract, but that's just something that we could negotiate and maybe bring to the council and add it on. But whatever you guys want to do on that, I'm happy to do it. We just need to come up with some price for it.
Any further discussion? All right. Thank you. Update, discussion, and possible action. Sorry, 9F. Update, discussion, and possible action on the Kirby Bear Animal Facility operations. Ms. Grant, would you like to speak now? Do you want to
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to give you a brief update on our current operations. We have been doing intakes at the facility jointly since about July of last year, and you currently have in your packet the reports from this fiscal year, the monthly intake reports, to give you a breakdown of how many animals the county's bringing in, how many the city is bringing in, and then the status of those animals. And what we agreed on recently, because our interlocal agreement with Bexar County talks about the invoicing process and how we'll do payments. So what we're currently doing is all of the bills come in. Basically, Bexar County takes care of paying all of the monthly bills. They provide a report to the city. Our finance director provides a report to them as far as payroll, the taxes, and those joint-related expenses. Because, you know, the employees are all joint employees. The manager is a Bexar County employee, and then the kennel technicians are City of Kirby employees, but we still share in the expenses of those employees. So those numbers go to the county, they put it all together, and they send it back to us for review and approval. But we agreed recently that we would do payments on a quarterly basis, because what we've learned is that it really takes the county 60 to 90 days to truly rectify their records, so you don't seem to pay their bills as expeditiously as needed. So rather than have to go back and make changes next month, it's just easier to wait until the end of the quarter. So at this point, because Bexar County's had much higher intakes at starting of the fiscal year, it's actually kind of balanced out in what the city has owed to the county as far as monthly payments. So to date, we have only paid $4,257.65 for this fiscal year. And that's because the monthly expenses are higher, some months lower, other months it's balanced out. But we'll continue to monitor that. We do have in our budget for this year $55,000, so the numbers continue this way. We most likely get half the cost savings from those expenses. We continue to keep our animal control operations separate. And Bexar County has their own animal control ordinance. We have ours, and those operations are totally separate. The way it's supposed to work is that their animal control officers and our animal control officer pick up animals in our respective jurisdictions, take them to the facility, do paperwork, and leave. They are only to be in the kennel for additional time if for some reason we're short staffed and they've been asked to help with cleaning kennels, which has happened on a couple of occasions. But other than that, we agree that we should all follow that same practice. Now, we have had some challenges that we've had to address as far as staff, you know, maybe spending too much time in the building, continue to try to work through those things on their end. But I think it's getting a little bit easier as we've been going along every month. Other thing is that we do have in our agreement that we'll come up with a joint budget by June 30th. That way it gives both entities time to get that into their budgets for approval. So we do need to start working on some numbers based on the first year of operations and what we think the expenses are going to be next year. Additionally, we had a meeting with the county a few weeks ago and talked about the phases for the building that are discussed in the agreement. And so they are going to put together some proposals for Bexar County Commissioners Court to talk about if they're going to fund the next phase or not. Because it does discuss the surgical center, office space, and those things. But again, that's contingent upon the county approving that money on an annual basis. So right now, we don't have any information on that. As far as staffing goes, I mentioned we have the one manager, that we have three kennel technicians, so we are full staff at what's budgeted at the facility. Now, we have had some overages in their overtime, and so one of the things that we've discussed is that it looks like what they're spending in overtime would probably justify hiring maybe another part-time kennel technician to assist, because again, somebody has to work every day of the week, even when they're not open to the public. Someone has to feed the animals and care for the animals. So that may be something that we look at maybe as a recommendation in this upcoming budget. And is that anything I had? Don't have any questions? Happy to answer those.
Do you want?
Well, I'd like to, not so much a question, is just generally what I found. I'm the liaison between the city and animal care facility. First thing, this is the card. The 214 number is a cell phone that never gets answered. How do I know that? because the second number is the 661-8515. Is that familiar to everybody? I called dispatch. I asked Sam. I said, does anybody ever answer that phone? And she said, no. We get calls constantly. That's number one. Number two, this lady has just a little bit too much power. This is the only person that can approve an adoption. Nobody else. Even as, there is Kirby dogs and county dogs, and they're supposed to come together. But if there's nobody there, how are you going to adopt them out? This young man that could have been here, but he had to work. I found the animal on a Sunday, took it down there. David saw it. I know this young man. The family is from Kirby. My grandson and the older brother are best friends. He said, I'll take the dog. David knew that. Common knowledge. He comes in Monday. This lady's off. He says, look, I want to pay, and I'll take the dog in 5 days. You can't do that. Well, I did. The little Westie, I got it home. I paid the $125 right up front, waited the 5 days, went and got her. Okay, so now this young man continually calls the 214 number. He gets nothing. So the next Sunday, I go down there. Now, she just happens to be there. Sundays and Mondays are this lady's day off. And go in there, and there are signs, five animals. These cannot be up for adoption. Guess what? This dog, that is common knowledge, that occurs to the person from here wants the dog, it's going to go to Wisconsin. She knew it. I don't understand. See, I can't get an answer. I don't understand why she made that decision. But the chief and I got together. We stopped it. The young man ended up finally, after jumping through about 35 hoops for this lady, adopted the dog. Now, the city, their age is 18. Ours is 21. I think we need to look at that. But, I mean, this lady, let me tell you how picky. The young man lives on his grandfather's property out here off of 1604. He was told the grandfather has to come in and sign and approve the dog to live on his property. Little problem there. Grandpa's dead. His parents take care of the property. So finally she let them sign so that the dog could go to the property. Of course, then he had to be 21. He's only 19, so we ran into that thing. But we jumped through all the hoops, got the animal done. Prior to that, a week, the Sunday, when I went in, the Monday, I had already made up my mind, I'm going to go in, I'm going to pick up an application, I'm going to fill it out, I'm going to adopt a dog, pay all the fees, I don't care what they are, and I'm going to make it a present to this young man because this is BS. I walk into our tiny office. How many of you all have been down there? How small is that office?
Small.
Seven people. Seven. One female who used to work for the city is in uniform. One male is sitting with his feet up on David's desk. And there are people like this. So I got an application. And I was told by this female county employee who used to be a former Kirby employee that I needed to control my wife, that she was down there cursing and basically raising hell. No, she's 69 years old. She speaks for herself exactly as she said. In fact, I didn't even know she went down there until I got home. Okay? And all of a sudden, and that's a little bit inappropriate. Okay? Now let's talk about the little click that goes on. Okay? The county employees, apparently, because their boss works for the county, does not have to follow that lady's directions. This is our city. That's our building. And by and large, that lady likes it or not, works for that lady over there. The chief back there is on our part of our deal. And apparently, his word barely carries weight down there. Unless this lady okays it. Okay? And this lady is not, my wife asked her, she said, how many hours a day do you work? Six, maybe. And we can't adopt our own pets out. Now, the reason that they're maintaining such a good rate because they're shipping these animals out. And that's a lot of stress. Not that that doesn't help. Don't misunderstand me. I do not want to see an animal euthanized unless it's a health issue. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something else. That little tiny office is not a lunchroom, which it has been. It's not a rest area. Go find a Denny's. You got the whole damn county to run around in your little truck. You want to have coffee? You want to put your feet up on the desk? No. How about this? How about we give the county a 45-day notice? Then our attorney go back. And that is the most innocuous, no talent, no information contract I've ever read in my life. Mark will attest to that. I understand why, because we had no figures to work with. Now we do. Okay? I want to know who holds the purse strings. I want to know where the money goes. I want to know how many hours that lady puts in since she has all the power and only is the only one that can adopt an animal out. Now, I talked to Mr. Winters, who is over her, okay? And I told him about the little comments that were made. Oh, and this gets better. This is a county phone. The second one on here is dispatch. Did you know, and you're going to love this one, folks, there's a Kirby phone in there. There's seven people sitting around that desk. I drove down the street, and I said, damn, gum mad about the comments that were made. I know the 661 number. Found out seven people. Now, this is supposed to be a joint thing, right, the county and us? There's two animal controllers sitting there, and they can't answer that phone. I let it ring 25 times. I know there's seven people in there, and nobody picked up the phone. You going to tell me that one of those fine people in their nifty little uniform couldn't have picked up the phone and said, hey, I'm a county employee, but can I help you? Because this is a joint thing. No, I found out that's called the Kirby phone. And if one of our people is not in there, it doesn't get answered. So no wonder we're shipping out so many animals. Nobody can go down there and get one. I have another lady that was going to be here tonight, but she had it also. That's the way life is. She called for 2 weeks, this number. Now, there's a real fancy call box at the end. Gives you all these email numbers, all this stuff, and you still don't get an answer. I have never seen something so mismanaged, okay? And I am not going to put up with our people being intimidated and their workspace being taken up by the county employees who should be out. My understanding, which I guess I'm dumb as a rock, was when this thing went together, that we were going to work this thing together, okay? And again, I still am baffled by how two ex-employees are now both animal control officers. And actually, that's a lie, because I found out why. Because they have a personal relation with Mr. Winter. And that's how they got hired, or how many of applications were put in. And folks, straight up, they can tell me to go jump in the lake. They can do whatever they want. Both those people left with a chip on their shoulder. And now they're right back in our facility. And they're undermining our employees. And I'm not going to have it. If our employees have to go to the fire department or to the PD to eat lunch and check out for an hour, I better not catch one brown bag down there at all. Because this is ridiculous. You know, because you got a cute little uniform. I've been a policeman 40 years, and I've worn a lot of different uniforms. And I'm not any better than anybody in this room at any time, ever. But you go down there and watch how they act. Sit there with their feet up on the desk, and if our people would have had come in and work, they couldn't get to the desk. I don't know who all the seven people were. I found out that one lady is the vet, little blonde-headed lady. And the two officers and the rest, I don't know who they were. So what I'm saying to you folks is, as the liaison, I am taking the hit for not being more diligent. Okay? It's my fault. But what I'm saying to you is, I don't ever want to see an animal hurt. When I voted for this, I caught more flack from citizens. Oh, my God in heaven. My phone rang for I don't know how long. People, you're going to put that stinky thing, that noisy thing, and it's like, you know, Yes, because I believe in taking care of that dog that gets thrown out on the side of the road. I believe in taking care of that cat that gets dumped. That's my deal. I like animals. I got two rescues. And the people that are running it have their little levels. That man sitting back there is our chief, is at the same level as this lady as far as I'm concerned. But you know what their protection is? You're going to love this one. They're county employees in civil service. We can't touch them. That's crap. Now, I'm telling you, I've had enough. I've seen a lot of people have contacted me. You know, if you want to go get an animal, you can't. Now, Mr. Winters said, well, we need another person. And I said, so you're telling me that this woman is so busy every day that she can't be there to do her job? And you want an assistant to answer the phone? And exactly what he said, to answer the phone and handle adoptions. What is this lady supposed to do? What's her job description? Somebody tell me. I really want to know. I honest to God want to know. And I'm glad to see that we're going to do an audit. But I really would like to, and I'm sorry to say this, folks, but when I see our facility, their facility, however you want to, you can't get people to go on the record because of the fact they have a job. And I can appreciate that to no end. But when I understand that, let me tell you how they hold cages for the county. When it appears to be full, when a Kirby truck comes in, if a litter of puppies come in, say there's eight of them, two, 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 and two. Then when a county truck comes in, two and four. Now we got an open space. And this is the one that really, really jacks my jaws. We're doing surgery on the floor. That's just a plain statement. That's just the way it is. Also, and I know that Councilman Apodaca was on the original part of it. Does everybody here understand that we thought that this was an ongoing thing and it was just going to fall into place? Wrong. R-O-N-G. That's how wrong it is. Every time a section comes up, it's going to have to be approved by the county, and they're going to have to budget it. And if they decide the money's not there, guess what? Not a damn thing gets built. Yeah. So we got into this, and you talk about getting blindsided. I'm telling you right now, folks, as far as I'm concerned, the county folks can go pitch a tent beside their little building or get a portable building and put it beside over there, and we'll put them on notice and rewrite this whole thing because we got screwed. Plain and simple. Okay? But when it was presented to us, just like Monique, I know what she said is absolutely true. And she's trying to hold the financial end of this up and everything. And I don't believe she needs to go down there. That's going to be my job. And you can bet I'm going to take it very, very seriously to go down there. I'm not going to go with a microscope, but I'm going to visit occasionally and see who's there and when they're there and how long. And I'm not going to see our people intimidated. Now, the chief told me that the phone, the Kirby phone, that there is a portable, right? Did you ever locate the portable? Did you ever locate it? Nobody else could find it either. So that little job, in other words, so that the Kirby phone could be answered. One of the techs every day is supposed to carry that phone around when they're not in the office. Well, it ain't there, Coach. So to be honest with you, it looks like we're not in business. That's about as simple as I can tell you. Okay? And our tax dollars that we pay to the county are getting ripped off because if you don't ship those dogs to Wisconsin for nothing, some really nice person with a big pickup truck doesn't come down here and throw them in the back and drive them up there. And it also stresses them bad. I'm not saying that it doesn't need to be done, because Mr. Winters had a point. Animal rescues in this area are like McDonald's. There's a bunch. So we do have an overload of rescue animals. And it is fair to say that they should go to someplace where they got a chance to get a good home and everything that goes with it. I got no problem with that. But I also have a problem with the fact that our citizens and the people here should get first choice. And folks, when you know that an animal is wanted, it's common knowledge. Why would you want to send it to Wisconsin? Can anybody explain that to me? Don't I'm asking. Why would you want to send it away? Does it make sense? Thank you for letting me rant. I want to tell y'all that I don't usually get really stirred up, but this is over the top. I think that I would like to see that contract. Mark, I don't know what we could do, but you did read it originally, right?
The contract came from the county.
That's what I thought.
Our focus at the time was to get the building built.
I agree.
Primarily at their expense.
I agree.
If I recall correctly, it was a very long-term contract.
Yes.
But I am glad to look at it. If Patty or Ms. Vernon could get a copy to me of the final document, I'm certainly glad to look at it and see what options we have based on the concerns you expressed.
Please, can we do that? Because it is so open-ended, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's no... Do you know it doesn't even ask for an audit? I've never in my life.
I actually do know that, because I had asked for us to look at that once before, and it kind of just...
Well, see, that's what we let the county write it. That
no,
was
no, no.
You know, oh, you did?
Since I've been since I've been up here, I actually brought that one of the very first things we did, because I felt that our costs were going to be exorbitant, and our first cost or our first operational one was quite outrageous.
Well, let me ask you this.
I had actually asked for us to look at it, and then in those meetings, I'm saying back there, because that's where the advisory committee meetings were that I attended, that was another issue that, or something that I thought a paradigm was difficult, that you had Kirby employees, but a Bexar County manager.
Thank you.
That oversees. So just the level of hierarchy or step, it just didn't make sense to me. And when we had talked about it previous, when I was on council and this all started, the contract that I saw after getting back on council was way different than the proposed ideal of what it looks like today.
Well, the ratio is about 90% county, about 10% Kirby. And they meld them together, which is fine. You can go in there and pick a dog out, and that's cool. I got no problem with that. But when the person who is supposed to be handling the paperwork isn't there and doesn't answer a phone, how in the world can you do that?
I had actually sent Monique last year, I had sent her several recommendations, and they were still going to look at that as far as to have it, because it's closed now on Tuesdays, correct? Mm-hmm. So I had actually thought that if we had it, then they could be closed on Tuesday, Wednesday, which allows vetting adoptions, and it also alleviates some of the, because it not obviously closed, but closed to the public, so that all the intakes, intakes, vetting, cleaning, those kinds of things could be done, but that hasn't happened. Right, so there was... So that was, you know, like I said, there were some concerns that I had early on after seeing the actual contract when I got back on council. So I would like to be able to put this on, you know, so that we can talk with them. I know that they don't really like to come to council. They like you guys to do it. You know, maybe that's something that you can set up and have Councilmember Grant be in those discussions with Chief and their players in that, so that they can have,
yes.
And then you can bring it back.
And there's one more thing. I don't believe we should have one of the officers as a liaison or as a member of the committee. Before that person was hired by the county, she was part of the...
The rescue, the welfare part.
Yeah, but now, and I don't, I think that's a conflict of interest with her being a county employee.
Well, that's something y'all can look at as, y'all okay. can look at that advisory piece and...
Well, again, thank you for allowing me to bring this because I now feel, I feel bad. I feel that I, myself, being the liaison, should have, I read the contract at first and it seemed, what it appeared to me, and Mark may correct me, since they didn't have a lot to work with in figures, we all were going on respect for each other and coming together and working together. And it didn't happen.
I don't know, because that the way that it's...
was not what took place.
You're correct.
The original basic concept was it was going to be... The basic concept was it was supposed to be county was going to build it, Kirby was going to run it. County would come in, drop animals off, and go back out to county to do what they do.
Thank
county
you.
Was just going to pay us a lump sum, or quarterly, which was running them probably, they were paying a little over $500,000 a year
yes.
for them to do what they were doing before. So we were talking about doing this and they were paying us $400,000 a year. And we were going to handle everything at that point. That's what I saw and knew about that was supposed to take place.
I agree. Agree.
So again, what Grant's talking about, something disappeared somewhere. And again, yes, I want to get the paperwork back to Mark and see if we can maybe get back on track of that being the actual thing. They just pay us, they come in, drop the animals off, they leave. We, the city of Kirby, in conjunction with them, just dropping the animals off, go back to running the animal shelter and put in place what we need to make sure that the animals are still going upstate because it's too hard to adopt animals. Can't say it's too hard to adopt animals here. That we have so many animals being put into shelters, animal care facilities and everything else, it's hard to get those animals adopted out here. Locally, upstate, people are just, they're gone. I mean, granted, myself, I've adopted an animal. My son has adopted an animal. And yes, he did get permission from me because he does live at my house. So we've adopted two animals from our Kirby facility. But something needs to be done. We need to have accountability, and from what I'm hearing on everybody's end, including for council to have their accountability also, there's nothing there for that.
So how is it feasible to say that you would be able to entertain a meeting with them fairly quickly, or?
Yeah, I mean, the agreement says that it'll be renewed.
Because, I mean, I think it would be unproductive for every, you know, for it to be an open with everybody. But maybe if that's the case, then we can just send suggestions to you. And then since Councilmember Grant is the liaison, then entertain that meeting with them. Councilmember Grant can be present. And then at some point after that meeting, we bring it back to council for y'all to inform the rest of us, or for, you know, just so that you can let us know what happened and where we're at with that.
I'll be bound and gagged and tethered in a corner.
So if we can, I don't know if we can.
And the petty things about the lunchroom and stuff, I mean, we need to address that. And that needs to be taken care of. I mean, it's annoying when I walk in there and our own people can't sit at their desk.
Soon would we?
I'll reach out to the county tomorrow and see.
Okay.
And thank then you.
Okay. And then if, yes.
See that,
and then if Chief is available, that way he can speak for his employees that he has there as well. Does that sound good?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. Mayor, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Item 9G. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-841, repealing ordinance number O-2013-737. At this time, I'm going to ask that we table this item until June 14th, until our attorney is able to report back to us.
Absolutely. Do we need a motion or just I'll make a motion, we table.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to table item 9G, which is the ordinance number O-2018-841, repealing ordinance number O-2013-737 to be brought back on June 14th. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Avadakis?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. That item will be tabled until June 14th. And that was what that was an agreement for ambulance, EMS, billing, and related professional services with KMP Associates. DBA Specialized Billing and Collection Systems of Texas, so that information will come back on June 14th. Item 9H, discussion and possible action on, sorry, 9...
You're there. You're right.
Discussion and possible action on Softball Association Park Agreement Renewal.
And Mayor and Councilman asked if we could table this item to June 14th because the representative for the Softball Association let us know this evening that his son made the Little League Championship.
Oh, how cool.
So he couldn't be here. He had to coach.
Make a motion. We just table it.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to table the Softball Association Park Agreement until June 14th. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right, that item will be tabled until June 14th. Item 9I, discussion and possible action on resolution R-2018-702, authorizing the police chief to apply for a community-oriented policing services grant, also known as COPS. Chief Boyce, I will turn it over to you.
Madam Councilmember, good evening. I had an opportunity to come across a grant. I was looking for some other things and things that we could apply for the department. And this kind of caught my eye. It's a fairly large grant that would go to augment another police officer in the department. This particular type of grant, the officer would be like a community service officer, or San Antonio has a program they call a SAFE program. This particular officer would do things like work during the day out in the community, meeting with community members, addressing specific concerns like the gentleman that was here earlier asked about speed bumps on Ben Zinkelman. This officer would also do things like be a part of or conduct town hall meetings. If a resident's home is burglarized within a couple of days, they do a follow-up visit, deal with victim services and that sort of thing. There are some conditions with the grant. First off, it would supply us with 75% of the officer's annual salary for a period of 3 years. Council would have to, I'm not sure that would be council would have to approve an in-kind match for the other 25% and commit to that at least for the first 3 years. And then the fourth year of the grant, we would be required to absorb 100% of the officer's salary for an additional 1 year. At the end of the 1 year, then we would be free of the grant requirements and would be able to do whatever we wanted with the officer, absorb them into routine patrol activities, assign them as a detective. The program is kind of geared to add officers to departments, and they really don't recommend at the end of the 4 year grant term that we release the officer. They would prefer that we seek another grant to refund or something like that. Some things I'm working on, a resolution from City Council authorizing us to apply for it and agreeing to the term
any idea after you apply how soon you will be notified?
Normally, I don't have an exact date, but normally they're within about 60 to 90 days with a start date at the next fiscal year. Yeah. So this might work very quick. And I originally found out about this through a company. There is a company out there that is willing to do everything for me. The only thing they won't do is guarantee we'll get the grant because we'll be in competition with other departments. Unfortunately, I didn't pursue dealing with that particular organization because they did have a fee attached to it, and that is not anything that we had budgeted for. This particular budget does not allow you to include those type of finder's fees or those support fees like some budgets. So this would be something that we would have to pay for out of pocket ahead of time. And if I asked for a lot in the current budget amendment that you don't have a second reading on to include a lot of new vehicle for animal control facility and all the rest of that. So I didn't want to kind of push my luck and add another what could be as much as $4,000 to give to a company at the hopes that we did get the grant. So I'm going to try and do this on my own. The odds are kind of stacked against me because of the time limit. If I had been made aware of the budget much sooner, then it could have been different. But I had reached out to an organization looking for body camera grants, and none are available at the current time. But they said, however, we've got this opportunity that you might want to look at, and that's how all this started.
Do we not have an employee that does grant writing and applies for grants for us? Maybe they can help you?
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think if the chief is willing to put in all this time and labor, that we ought to go for it.
Make your motion.
I make a motion we grant the chief whatever he needs.
Can you say that resolution?
You lost it.
Sorry.
Wait a minute, I gotta find it. I'll find it.
Aye.
Is it aye, right?
Yes.
Okay, I make a motion we accept resolution R2018-702, authorizing the chief to apply for a community-oriented policing services grant.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept resolution number R-2018-702, authorizing the police chief to apply for a community-oriented policing services grant. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Good luck, Chief.
Thank you. I'll keep the city manager updated and pass on to you all.
Item 9J, discussion and possible action on the 66th Annual Firemen's Picnic Parade expenses. I will turn this over to, actually, Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge requested this item, but you want to do it?
Sure.
Okay.
I requested this item to be put on the agenda because there was a question on the expense for the police officers for the parade. I feel that the bill for the police officers that came and worked the parade, I understand they're not volunteers and that the money has to come from somewhere. I do think that the city needs to absorb this, or we need to find that the money comes from somewhere other than our fire department. Due to the fact that people come to us and ask us to waive the fees for park facilities, for memorials, for other functions, I don't feel right that our fire department needs to pay for this. And I would like for this to come out of our discretionary fund.
And the amount of the was $560 for the parade.
And this is something that was brought back this year because the citizens of this town expressed that this is something that they wanted. whether the fact it said Kirby Volunteer Firemen's Picnic or Hobo Fest, this is something that our citizens want.
Has the fire department always paid for the parade?
Yes.
Yeah, from what I understand, we have, there's a line item set up called City Festival's revenue account, and that's the anticipated amount every year has been $5,000, used for the last 4 years that I'm aware of, because that's going to be around the amount that the fire department has paid the city after the event. And it was my understanding that that cost was to cover all the security, the parade, and the picnic, as well as the 25% cost for other city services, like usage of the park and all other employees that worked. So that's where we have a line item for that, where we anticipate that amount of money. So since that amount is anticipated, that's the account we use to pay these expenses as well. So waive that, it's just know that it'll, you know, it'll be short, $506.
As far as I know, even to the 18 years that I worked for the city, they paid for it, the security. When our officers volunteered their time, when the officers volunteered their time way back when, they donated money to the association to compensate for the differences of the prices.
My thing, the only thing I was looking at is because one of the emails that was sent to us said that since this is a volunteer fire department fundraiser, the expenses would be paid by Kirby Volunteer Fire Department. So I'm confused, though, because as of 2009, when we did have the Hobo Fest piece of it, then it was a city part. Like, I'm just trying to figure out what to just deem this now as a volunteer fire, because if it was 2009, 2010 to 2016, I'm saying because we didn't have the parade last year, if the Hobo Fest part of it deemed it a city festival, then by all wording, it's only because that Hobo Fest piece is not in there, is what it almost sounds like. But if they paid for the parade when it was the Hobo Fest, then what's deeming a city festival versus a fireman's picnic?
When the Hobo Fest was on its own, 2 years, 3 years before it combined.
In 2009 it combined.
Yeah.
And in 2008 is when it was incepted. That's why I'm asking, like, what.
Yeah, because we paid, now, the first year we paid this for the out of the funds that the Hobo Fest earned on its own. We paid the out of that, and it was like about $500 or $600, if I remember right. And then it got combined the next year, and it was just, I guess, a precedent that had already been set, and it just continued on. And it, you know, I mean, it's dollars from you know, Peter to Paul kind of a thing. So, I mean, I understand what the Mayor Pro Tem is saying. It's, you know, I don't know. Just as long as it's covered, I guess, would be the thing. So,
I mean, I would
column A to column B.
I would have to agree, though. We waive fees for
all the time.
We waive fees for the Martin Luther King Parade, for the San Antonio Youth Association that 1 year.
Yeah.
To your point, memorials, those kinds of things. I was just trying to figure out what the part of that's made it a volunteer fire department fundraiser versus, you know, all these years, if it was a Hobo Fest, just speaking of, you know, what we had discussed previously. So
again, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mayor.
I was going to say, basically, there wasn't going to be a parade either, but because we actually got so much feedback from the citizens wanting a parade, we all but forced our chief to police, our fire chief to, no, you're going to have a parade. I mean, I can see why somebody wouldn't want to if the fundraising coming from the volunteer fire department is spending $560 on a parade. That means anybody who bought an auction, all they're doing an auction item
is paying for the parade.
Is paying for the parade to have. That's just. feeling.
Actually, I spent more than that at the auction.
Well, I know you did. I was there. But.
Well, I was going to say that the only flip side of it that has come up before is that we also had other city employees involved that they paid.
Well, this is only the $560.
Contract officers. So, I mean, either way, however you want to do it is fine. I guess if we're going to do this every year, then we need to budget to hire contract security or just utilize permit officers.
Well, can we
not? For example, when we waive fees for like these other events, we're waiving permit TV. So they're working using salary payroll. These were contract officers and we didn't have a budget to pay. So if we just want to do that, we just need to budget that going forward. And like the difference with 4th of July, because I had someone ask you that question, is that they have a line item and sponsorships come in that cover that cost of contracts.
Yes. HEB does that.
That's what I was going to ask. Can we have on the new budget a line item for every department and set aside discretionary money that can be used for that? So if Chief Boyce says, hey, this week or month ahead advance, we're going to have a parade, whatever, then he doesn't have to pay the fire department to have EMS on standby, make sure they got a engine out there or anything else, because he'll have a discretionary fund that can be drawn from the city to pull out of that, to put that in, just like you said $5,000 or $8,000. So if we just allow each department to have their own, including public works, the same thing, and then the city still maintain their discretionary fund that you're talking of for the other things that come in. But that way, because you got to pay for public works that's working overtime, fire department guys that are working overtime, well, 24/7,
but PD, there's still
all that,
there's still an additional 25% that in addition to this, that they're paying back to the city for those people, correct? I mean, that's
right.
Really
right.
What that's, the intent is.
That's what I've been told, that was the intent. I mean, we've been doing research to see, you know, when that started.
And that's another thing. When we have that meeting for this, for the festival in general in September, I'd like to get that all situated too, like so that we have a idea of something in writing so that anyone can go back and research it.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. I think it's a very good idea.
So this item, I will, if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
To accept
whatever y'all want to do.
I make a motion that we allow the city manager to use the discretionary fund, pay for the $560 for the four officers times 4 hours for the parade on Saturday, May 5th, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to pay the $560 for the four contract officers for the parade. Any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge? Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. Item 9K, discussion and possible action to appoint a member to the Economic Development Committee. Is this the only application we have?
Do we have a warm body?
Yeah.
Diego.
We have Diego McLean Lopez. I do not see him here.
What do you think, Jerry?
Madam Mayor, this gentleman has been to a couple of our meetings already. He's got some real good ideas. They might not know who he is, but he's the gentleman that is putting up the two commercial businesses on Ben's Ingham and Gibbs Draw Road.
Yeah.
Not Gibbs Draw.
And, I mean, Springfield Road. When he started coming to our meetings and he gave us some good information, we kind of asked him, you know, would you be interested in joining our EDC group? And he said, yes, I would. So I recommend that we accept him.
We have a motion by Councilmember Lehman.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson to appoint Diego McLean Lopez to the Economic Development Committee. Did anybody reach out to him today? For him to know that it was here? Okay, that's what I was doing. All right.
We've got him trapped ticking.
Is there any further discussion?
I just have one question. Did he not have any references? That's part of the application process, is it not? So we're going to put a gentleman on the Economic Development Committee. I'm done.
How many vacancies do we have on this committee?
Just this one, and if we accept him, then we're full.
They can still meet.
Also going to be a business owner in Kirby, too.
Say that again?
A business owner in Kirby. He's going to be running two of those places that they're building.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. What am I? Chopped liver?
All right. Will you reach out to him and let him know when the next EDC? Item 9.
I.
No. Item 9L.
L. Yeah.
Discussion and possible action on resolution R.
The funny looking one.
-2018-703, authorizing adoption of the Community Development Block Grant Agreement with the County of Bexar, State of Texas for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Community Development Block, CDBG, and Home Grants Funding. I will turn it over to our city manager.
So last council meeting, you all approved to continue applying for CDBG funds. And when we turned our agreement in, we were notified by the county that it also required a resolution to accompany the agreement. So tonight, I'm just asking for you to approve the resolution.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the possible action on resolution number R. -2018-703, authorizing adoption of the Community Development Block Grant Agreement with the County of County of Bexar, State of Texas, for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Community Development Block, CDBG, and Home Grant Fundings.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept resolution number R-2018-703. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, item 10A, executive session. Executive session pursuant to the Texas Government Code Section 551.074, personnel matters for deliberation on review, evaluation, duties, discipline, or dismissal of the city manager. At this time, I will close our regular meeting at 8:57.
My posterior is taking a nap.
executive session was closed at 10:53. Item 11A, discussion and possible action on review and evaluation of city manager. Action. All right, no action. Item 12A, request of by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events, community interest. Councilmember Abadaka.
I did have a couple of people ask me about the drainage on, let me think a minute. Where Ben Zingelman is going to hit Springfield, that usually gets full of water, and they wanted to know if, since Springfield is the border, what's going to happen with the drainage there? Is anything going to be done to the drainage there on that intersection? So.
Well, until the city reopens up the drain. Ooh, I'm sorry. So I've addressed it. That's what makes me mad. I've called the city like 5 times on that corner.
And you're still going. Right,
so
still didn't do anything.
Do you want that on an update for that?
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want it on June 14th or a subsequent meeting? Or June 14th is our next meeting.
No, it can be after that because the construction there is going to take a while.
All right. So if we can just mark that to bring up as soon as we would know when that project starts on that end. Okay.
That's it.
I do have several. I want to thank Public Works for the work that they did for the house to just pick up. It was very smooth and everything was going on. And I'm hoping that you're the ones who cut the trees down on Seguin Road. And thank you for doing that. I've heard a lot of complaints on that. I'm going to ask the chief and thank the code compliance for all the work that she did with the dumping of last week. She sat there all day waiting and watching them pack their stuff up to leave Kirby Baptist Church. And so thank you for all the work that y'all did on that and cleaning up all of that mess. But the work on Ben Zingelman, like the man was saying, people are speeding. Well, now they're just running the stop sign on Ben Zingelman and Alan Shepard. You can sit out any day and watch them not even stop at the stop sign there. They're just going right on through. It's going to be hit. Kids are going to be hit because nobody's stopping there now. And then I had some complaints that came by about some damage on the football field from the fireman's picnic. And I don't know if anybody has addressed that or have they? They've come and complained about that to me.
Was that recently?
No, when the fireman's picnic was. Well, probably between.
Okay, because it was taking care of the very next day.
Well, it was between the two council meetings, so I didn't have a chance to.
Okay.
And just, you know, really, I guess a lot of the complaints on Bill Anders is that the trucks are coming down. So they're coming down Buzz Aldrin to Bill Anders to Alan Shepard to Ben Zingelman, and that they're still making their little rounds every once in a while on that. And so you're messing up 3 streets there, and then you're going, I'm not sure how they go to dump their stuff once they leave Ben Zingelman, if they're going down Happiness to, or how they're getting to Gaiety. But all of that area is, you know, you're tearing up more city streets when they could just stay on Ben Zingelman and go all the way down to wherever they're going. And I guess that's it for me.
I only have 2 things. One thing is maybe we can have Chief put some officers on FM 78. I drive 78 all the time. It is an absolute racetrack. been a long time since I've saw one of our officers running radar anywhere on FM 78, and if I have seen somebody pulled over on FM 78, it's a DPS trooper or a Bexar County sheriff. Second thing is, Monique, who do we need to get with to see about the discrepancy on the bond election report? Okay, and possibly have a resolution at our next council meeting.
June 14th.
And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Councilmember Lehman.
The only thing I got is the EDC is going to have an item on the agenda at the next meeting. Patty, I was just thinking, can that thing be worded to where if there were some other subjects that was kind of pertaining to that we could discuss it also?
Like, you want to leave it open-ended?
Yeah, like leaving it open-ended. Okay, so when we have our meeting on the 6th, I think it is, I'll have to find out from the committee, is there anything else that they need to have discussed at the council meeting? And then I'll have to get back with you to try to put that on the agenda also.
Is that about the sign?
Huh?
Is that about the sign?
Well, the one of them is, the main one is about the sign, yes. Okay.
No. Okay.
If, you know, what is an item that the council is originating or council members originating, I agree with Ms. Cox that we need to say specifically what the council is going to discuss or what the council might act on. So it doesn't have to have every single detail, but her example about roads is different from talking about a specific street. Hopefully that gives you some guidance that will help you and work with Ms. Cox and Ms. Vernon or with me about how to word something so that it adequately tells the public what is going to be discussed.
This would be strictly about the sign, but there might be something around that needs to be discussed in front of the council.
If it's on the 6th, after that meeting, that should be before we post the agenda. That should be ample time to get with you guys.
That's what I was saying, you know, because, well, I know what we're going to ask about the sign, but
let's
see what they want to do at the meeting itself.
Yeah, so after that meeting.
Okay.
You're the liaison, right, to the EDC? So after that meeting happens, then just get with Patty. So that y'all can come up with specifically.
If there's something else,
if there's something else, yeah.
Well, you can have more than one agenda item from the same committee also.
That's it.
Councilmember Grant.
No, ma'am, thank you.
Councilmember Pierce.
No, thank you. Everybody have a good night.
Again, thank you.
again, I would like to send our condolences to Kimberly Keene's family, the Nolte family, and the Brinkley family in their sudden deaths of their family members. On June 14th, if we can, please, with everybody that had those items on there, I would like to put Republic back on June 14th so we can talk about Kirby Heights for that piece of it and invite Mr. Martinez back, and also whether it be Tom or Terry to come back so that we can figure out that piece of it. And since they're going to be here, I would like to just update on the carts just to see where we're at, since they're already here. Friendship Park and Hugo Lentz, I would like to continue to see the efforts of those pieces to continue being worked on. Let me shove the down there. Fireworks in the park is July 4th, so it's not too far away. And there will be flyers, there's food vendors, arts and crafts. As you heard Donna say, they're still looking forward for donations for books, so that's an exciting venture. So if you have books to donate, you can donate them at the police department, at the fire station, dispatch. I believe the senior center had also indicated to Donna that they would also house some item or some books there as well, but we can follow up with Norma for that piece of it. And there was actually something else. The VFW is supposed to have a community garage sale Saturday from 9 to 3, where you can take your stuff in their parking lot and they'll give you a table. So that is supposed to happen.
The garage is going for?
I'm not really sure. Haven't had one. And then don't forget, on the 31st, get the word out about the senior center having the 11 pallets of food distributed for anybody from 1 to 3. And I believe, did anybody else have anything to add?
Tomorrow's ceremony at the Hopkins.
Oh, yes. Tomorrow's ceremony at
8:30.
Hopkins,
8:30.
Next Friday. Oh, yes. And June 1st. There will be a dedication of the fire station to our former Chief Friedel.
At 5:30.
At 5:30 p.m. Anything else? All right. Adjourned.